The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are reviewing the Rogue cards in Into the Maelstrom, the sixth Mythos pack in the Innsmouth Conspiracy Cycle. There are spoilers throughout, if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Before we get started, a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst receive a Tentacle, and the cards in between receive a +1, +0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these player card reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. The Rogues get the lion's share of the player cards in this pack. There are three of them, the first of which is the 25 automatic. This is the level 2 25 automatic, of course the level 0 version appearing in the Innsmouth Conspiracy. It is a 4-cost asset that costs 2 experience points. It has a combat and agility skill icon, item, weapon, firearm, and illicit traits. It is fast, uses 4 ammo. As an action, you can spend an ammo to fight. If the attacked enemy is exhausted, you get +2 combat and deal +1 damage for this attack. As a response, after you evade an enemy at your location, perform the above fight ability without spending an action. This takes up a hand slot. What do you think about the 25 automatic, Nate?
I've been playing the 25 automatic in a few of my rogue decks recently, and I've quite liked the level 0 version, and getting just a straight upgrade for that, it seems really good. Finn likes this card in particular because he gets that extra action to evade for free. So he evades for free, and then he gets a free fight. That's pretty solid. And the fact that he also has a 3 combat means he can actually kill things is pretty good. Trish also likes this card quite a bit because she can investigate, get a free evade, and then use this for a free fight. So this is a very solid card. I would also say that Tony likes this card quite a bit as well. If he can manage to slip by a couple enemies with something like Decoy, he can get a free action that way, and he can just start pumping out damage, so I've really enjoyed the 25 automatic. I think what really boosts it over the top for me is the fact that it has the fast keyword.
Yeah, I'm honestly surprised that this card did not appear in the Winifred Habermock starter deck, because this is so much better for her than the Mauser is. It's like night and day. Like, the Mauser is, while the Mauser plays into her succeed by 2 ability, that deck contains absolutely so few combat skill icons that there's almost, you would need like the perfect hand in order to succeed by 2 with that thing. And this thing just plays right into her 5 agility. Like, this is good for so many of the rogues, and Finn, of course, it's excellent in. I know you've been playing a lot of Trish, and this card is good in. I mean, any card that gives you basically, it's one of the best rogue weapons in the game already. I mean, rogues have just, for whatever reason, have been saddled with really poor choices in the weapon department. I mean, it's fast, so that's amazing. Has 4 ammo, so it's got, a lot of shots in it, which is, it's got pretty good bonuses, +2 combat and +1 damage. That's excellent. And then, of course, if you get the audit, you get the evade, you get a free action. Man, this is very good. I think this one is definitely a +1 in my book.
Oh, really? I was going to give this an Elder Sign. I think this is probably the best rogue weapon to date.
Yeah, you're going to go that high?
I think so. I think for the class, this is a very well-designed card. I really like this card.
Yeah, the more I think about it, it is probably... Yeah.
It's so consistent versus things like the Derringer that rely on you to succeed by more, but this doesn't. Like, this interacts with so many things favorably. Like I was saying earlier, like Trish, like, you can just investigate. I investigate, I get a free evade, I also get a free fight. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's probably closer to an Elder Sign, just because it does so many things that the rogues want to do, and it fits in with so many different types of rogue investigators, that this is the, if you need a weapon, then this is probably the one you're reaching for, barring, you're playing either a really dedicated 6x2, or you want the Tommy gun or the Chicago typewriter or something like that. Like, there is actually quite a bit of diversity in the rogue weapons in what they do. But I think if you were just looking for sort of, I need a gun that can kill stuff and doesn't saddle me with a whole bunch of different drawbacks, then I don't think you can go wrong with this one.
Yeah, I mean this card can just provide you with so much action compression that, I think it really pulls its weight for two experience.
Yeah. And it's it does have that illicit trait for Finn, so if you happen to be playing fence, you can play this for, I think it's three resources, is it? You get the one resource discount. So be nice if they built on the illicit keyword a little bit more. We haven't really seen, besides fence, and I think smuggled goods are the only two cards that that really interact with that keyword. And I guess poor Preston can't take this, but pretty much every other rogue in the rogue is very happy with
Yeah.
this one.
Preston has fire axe, to be fair.
Yeah, he doesn't really need he prefers an axe to a gun for sure. Yeah, it's I think yeah, it's definitely an Elder Sign. I think it's just, I'm looking at my list here of pros and cons, and there are no cons. So any card that I can sit down and be like, well, I can't honestly think of anything bad to say about this, and that many different investigators would like it. Unlike some of the other cards we've looked at, where it's kind of like, well, Ariadne's Twine, for example, it's really powerful, but you need to be playing secrets to use it. And this just fits sort of nicely with a lot of what the rogues are doing. The next rogue card in the pack is Justify the Means. It is a skill that costs 3 experience points. It has the practiced and cursed traits. You may commit Justify the Means to any type of test as an additional cost to commit Justify the Means to a skill test. Add curse tokens to the chaos bag equal to this test's difficulty. This test automatically succeeds. So the practice trait here obviously synergizes with Amanda, and practice makes perfect. If you need to add a couple of curse tokens to the bag, this is a pretty quick way to do it. But I think for me, the thing I really like about this card is automatically succeeding on a skill test is undeniably powerful, especially for rogues that struggle in the willpower department. And this gives them a way to pass those tests without much fuss.
Yeah, I think my only critique of it is that it's just a little too costly experience-wise, but I think if you made it two, then I think it's a little too dangerous just because it just kind of opens the floodgates for off classes. I like this card too. I think it's pretty good, especially late game when you just need to pass this test right now. And this card really just solidifies that for you. So I think especially in solo, this card is very good. I don't know how good this is in multiplayer because I feel like the bag kind of smooths itself out a little more in multiplayer.
Yeah, as someone who has been playing Winifred Habermock solo lately, I'm always looking for ways of dealing with the willpower issue that you have as a rogue player in solo, and having something like this at your fingertips is, I think, indispensable, and it's probably one of the easier ways to deal with those tests. I've played around with a bunch of different solutions to solve it, and 6 experience points isn't a bad cost wise. Is it is a bit of a tax that you're paying just to be able to pass a couple willpower skill tests, but I don't think if you're playing a rogue solo, I don't think you can afford to take everything on the chin, because a badly timed Frozen in Fear will just wreck your game. And it's not even so much the horror that I worry about when I'm playing a rogue solo. The horror, most rogues have enough sanity and there's enough soak available to deal with it. It's all the other effects that those cards throw at you that can be just punishing. I mean, if you play try playing a solo rogue through the Dunwich Legacy, and your deck will just evaporate as Visions of Future Past just tears it apart, and you have absolutely nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, and then you have a Beyond the Veil sitting in your red area, and you're just like, oh, geez.
Yeah, between the two of those, it'll just destroy you.
Recircle Undone, where it's like every single willpower test in the sun.
Yeah, so, like you just can't afford not to try to deal with it in some way. And the problem is, like, especially if you're playing somebody like Winifred, who just has access to the rogue card pool, there's not very much in the rogue card pool that you can use to pass those types of skill tests. I mean, Guts can help you a little bit. Tennessee Sour Mash can help you a little bit. But on their own, I find they're just not enough, because they only get, like, especially with Winifred, they just get you equal with a Rotting Remains, and they don't even touch things like Visions of Future Past. So at that point, there's just really no point in having them there, because they just don't do enough on their own. But having access to something like this would be very attractive, because otherwise I was looking at options recently, and it's just like, you're going to have to spend experience points if you want something. So you can either go for something like Justify the Means, which is going to set you back 6, or you can try, I mean, what was the Purifying Corruption? It was quite expensive as well. It was like 3 or 4.
It's 4, yeah.
You can play something like Moxie from Echoes of the Past, but of course Moxie, you have to then have extra soak out, so then you're looking at other things you need to sort of build around that a little bit. There was one other one. It was, I think, Versatile with something else. Versatile with a skill, like a talent, you could do as well. But then Versatile, you've got to pack your deck with 5 extra cards, which isn't ideal when you're already can't draw cards very well. Winifred can get around. Winifred probably draws cards better than most rogues, so that's an option for her as well. But so yeah, I think this card kind of solved a problem for me that I've had with playing rogues in solo. For sure. I think that I would give this one a +1 based on that. And if you're playing in multiplayer and you've got another deck at the table, like a Mystic or a Seeker, I don't think they would be very... I think they'd be pretty happy if you were justifying the means on even on a Rotting Remains and adding 3 curse tokens to the bag for them to play around with.
Yeah, I'm debating between a 0 and a +1. You know, like, I find that in some campaigns it can be pretty tough to find that 6 experience, and this isn't the most, like, glamorous upgrade, admittedly, but I do agree with you that it's certainly probably a necessary one a lot of the time if you're playing an investigator like Winifred or Finn, or even Trish with 2 willpower, but that's a discussion for another day. You know, initially when I looked at this card, I was thinking more of ways like, how can I use this to... you know, add a bunch of curse tokens to the bag and then use those curse tokens. But, you know, we're on pack 6 now, and we haven't really seen a lot of ways to, you know, really interact with curse tokens that much. So I think this is kind of relegated to, I need to pass this will test, otherwise I lose. So that being said, I think I'll give it a 0. I think it is very solid, but it's not the most glamorous card, admittedly.
Yeah, I think I mean, I was looking back at the card pool this afternoon, and, you know, I think it's pretty clear now that we're at the end of pack 6, and we can see, you know, the Seekers, they want curse tokens because they can leverage them to power other effects. The Rogues can add curse tokens, but really don't have a way to use them, and their Covenant really reflects that, where it's just like, you draw a curse token and you cancel it and get rid of it. They don't really have another way of doing anything with them once they're in the bag. And then Mystics sort of want them because they can use them to power other effects, but they don't have a lot of ways of adding tokens themselves. So each class is sort of, we get a better idea now as to, to where they stand. And yeah, I mean, it's that's the thing. Like, toward, I think I would want to save this toward the end of the game, where I know like this test is do or die, and I'm gonna add the curse tokens and not worry about them. Because I feel like if you're playing this, you're almost committed to picking up the Covenant as well, just to mitigate the curse tokens that you're adding, depending on what you're using this for. Because I don't know. I mean, if you're is passing Visions of Future Past worth 5 curse tokens? I mean, in certain situations, absolutely. If it's going to kill you, if Beyond the Veil's in your threat area and it's going to kill you, then absolutely. But if I drew a Visions sort of early in the game and I didn't have Beyond the Veil yet, then I don't know. Maybe +1's a bit high, but I do really like this option for rogues in solo. So my solo bias is showing here, I think.
I think it's very solid, and it's definitely, I think, more usable in solo, just because you're the only one that gets impacted by the tokens. And I do agree with your sentiment that you are probably also buying into the Covenant as well. Thus is realistically kind of aid experience. But it also does let you play Faustian Bargain a little more safely as well, which is a benefit in and of itself, because that card is very good.
Yeah, it's an interesting card. It's, you know, I think the auto success here is well balanced with the price you pay for it. The final rogue card in the pack is an upgrade for a card from way back in the Dunwich Legacy cycle. This is Lucky Dice, or Are They Level 3? It's a 2-cost asset that has a willpower and agility skill icon, the item and relic traits. It's exceptional. So it will cost you 6 experience points. As a response, when you reveal a non-curse, non-auto-fail token, chaos token, add 1 curse token to the chaos bag, ignore the just revealed token, and reveal another one to resolve. If that token has a curse or auto-fail symbol, return lucky dice to your hand. Cannot be ignored or canceled. And it takes up an accessory slot. So I guess if you're playing somebody who needs to add curse tokens to the bag, if you have that option, I mean, 3 experience points prices this out of most of the sort of off-class, like Dexter can't take this, Seekers can't take this.
Wendy can't take it. Wendy actually would kind of like this card, but...
Yeah, Wendy can't take it. So it's really for a rogue. And of course, as we just talked about, rogues don't have a good way of really using the curse tokens so much as just getting rid of them. I think it's better than its level 2 counterpart. I mean, the level 2 counterpart was always sort of saddled by the fact that it was removed from play after you drew an auto fail token, which was just a matter of time, I think, in most cases. I never did actually play with the level 2 version, but I mean, if you're looking to draw extra redraw tokens, it's not bad. Of course, this is exceptional, which is a big pain in the butt as always, but at least it does have the item trait, so Backpack can fetch it for you if you decide to go that route. But yeah, again, most of the rogue cards, like rogues don't really leverage. We've only seen sort of 2 cards this whole cycle where the rogues really leverage the curse tokens, those being the Lucky Penny and the Eye of Djinn, both of which provide some benefit for drawing
curse tokens. There's also Skeptic as well that turns the modifier into +1, but I mean, it's pretty minor. Yeah.
So what do you think about the upgraded Lucky Dice?
I think the biggest problem with this card is that for 6 experience, you could get so much more that this kind of just, I think, just kind of tumbles down to the wayside a lot of the time. I don't really see a rogue wanting a card like this, personally. You know, like, we had talked about, you know, potential off-class rogues that might want a card like this, but with it being level 3, a lot of those are out of reach, so I don't know. Like, I haven't had a lot of experience playing the level 2 version either, kind of for the same reason that, I find myself just using my experience for more crucial components of my deck. And this kind of feels, I don't know. It feels like it's trying to do something, but then kind of flounders around a little too much, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it, I don't think it compares favorably to either of the other two cards in this pack. I mean, if you're playing a rogue who needs a gun, I mean, you're going to spend the 4 experience points on 25 automatic. If you're like me playing a rogue in solo, I'd pay 6 for an auto success here and there, and I just don't see it's strange. It's like it's I don't know. It feels like this is the wrong color, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think if this was a Mystic card, it'd be a lot more interesting because Mystics want to mess with the bag, and adding curse tokens could be good. Because then you could leverage things like the following card that we'll talk about in the Mystic review, or you could interact with it with other cards that the other card that removes curse tokens to add bless tokens. So that could be interesting, but yeah, in Rogue, it's just kind of strange.
Yeah, because again, I look at the say I'm playing Winifred solo, and like at least with Justify the Means, I know I'm passing that willpower skill test. It doesn't matter how many tokens I draw and redraw with this, it doesn't fix that. I'm still failing. So,
Yeah, I
yeah,
also look at this card and I just think, like, how often am I really gonna trigger this? Like, I'm only really gonna trigger this when I either A, want to pass a test by 2 or more, or B, when I'm going to be failing the test otherwise. And, like, how often am I going to have this card in play and that happens, and I don't just fail from drawing a curse token and a -2 or something like that?
It's a I can't think of I mean again I haven't really played with the level 2 version, so the level 3 version doesn't really answer any questions that I've had about the card pool. It's kind of like, okay, it's nice, I guess, if it's better than its level 2 version because it just bounces back to your hand, that's fine.
Maybe it's good with Henry One when you want to like reveal a bunch of tokens with Henry One and gain resources and cards, but
So how would you rate this one? This is a tough one, I think.
yeah, this is tough. My gut tells me an Elder thing just because I honestly would never play with this card. Not because I necessarily think it's bad or anything, but more just because it just doesn't really do anything I need it to do in the rogue card pool, like we were saying earlier. It's just kind of odd, I think.
Yeah, I think I have to go with an elder thing on this one. It's tough 'cause it just doesn't feel like a card I'm spending 6 experience points on, to be honest. Like, again, this one sort of feels like it would be better as a Mystic card or somebody else in another class who wants those curse tokens, because if you're picking this up, then of course you're paying 6 for this, and then you're probably, again, you've got to buy the covenant in order to mitigate the curse tokens that you're adding. And
And
so
backpack.
and backpack. So you're just adding a whole bunch of there's a lot of baggage that comes with it to get this one into play. And adding 1 or 2 curse tokens isn't that bad, but like if you're just going to use this once per game, why bother?
Yeah, that's how I feel about this card is like,
One test usually is not the I mean, don't go and watch my playthroughs of Untamed Wilds and Doom of Esli, because one test did sort of matter in both of those games, but I don't think lucky dice would be the would save me in that case. So I mean, it just feels like it's so rarely that it comes down to like one test being what the game hinges on, that that unless you're using this a lot, and even if you do use it a lot, then the odds of it just bouncing back to your hand increase, and then you're stuck playing it again. And yeah, the more I talk about it, the less enthused I am about this one.
So, what are your thoughts about the rogue cards from this pack, man, from like
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. I mean, the 25 automatic I think is very, very good. There are a lot of different rogues who like that. And then, I mean, all the way down at the other end, you've got Lucky Dice, which I'm not too sure right at the moment which rogue particularly wants that. And Justify the Means, I think, sits comfortably in the middle as it's a bail automatically succeeding on a skill test is undeniably powerful. It just depends whether you're up to pe spending 6 experience points on it. Now, if I'm playing a rogue in solo, I think I'd be quite willing to do that because a lot of the other options to pass willpower skill tests cost as much or more than this. So this provides me with that ability cheaper. Lucky Dice, yeah, I just don't know where it fits.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. 25 automatic, super solid card. Justify the Means, like you said, it's a definite role filler for the rogue class in a good way, but like I was saying earlier, it's just not very flashy. So it's not like the coolest upgrade you make in your deck, but I think the more you play with Justify the Means, the more you're going to be very satisfied with it, just because it's going to increase your consistency that much more. And yeah, Lucky Dice is a card. It exists. The other two cards are very, very interesting, and I think that more than make up for Lucky Dice.
Yeah, I mean, Lucky Dice, theoretically, you could pull a token, add a curse token, then reveal another token and pull the curse token and bounce the dice back to your hand. I don't know how often that would happen, but that would be pretty annoying to say the least. It's like, great, I get to spend another two resources to play it back on the table, so.
Yeah, it's like almost antithetical, right? Because it's like it adds curse tokens, so you kind of want to be like leaning into the curse mechanic a little more, but then the more you lean into the curse mechanic, the worse this card gets. So
Yeah.
it's odd.
Yeah, I think may that's the thing, and maybe the designers tied their hands when they put this one, because Lucky Dice was the original was two, I think, wasn't it? And so I don't think they could justify releasing this one at two XP. Or maybe they couldn't because the Seekers and Mystics would get their hands on it, and then who knows what happens. So they were, I think, kind of maybe tied their own hands, and then they're like, well, it's an upgrade, so it's got to be three. At which point it just becomes sort of like, well, at three, most rogues don't want to use it.
Yeah, I was just you mentioning Mystics. I'm like, man, that could actually be kind of cool in Dexter because he has Molly to be able to tutor it. But yeah, at 3 XP, it's just a little cumbersome to work with.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your Elder Sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.